You immerse yourself in geek culture. Movies, books, cons, and especially gaming. Video, tabletop, it doesn't matter as long as you can play. My geeky friend, you need Vernon Wells. Vernon Wells is a geek gamer's paradise. It's like a country club for geeks without the hoity-toity atmosphere. You can nerd out and get your geek on with professionals just like you. So get geeking and sign up today. Vernon Wells, VNW.club, VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I'm the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Was that like your supervillain laugh or something? Like?
Well, sort of.
Oh, that's slightly better. That's
and
better.
Running the boards is Joey D's.
Wow.
All right, Waluigi.
That's even better.
Yeah. On today's show, we will get some comic book reviews from BJ Shea.
Hey, I know that guy.
I'll talk video games with an update that from one of my favorite mobile games that is now including a little more Thanos.
Thanos.
DC is doing some really fun stuff with the Zoom background, so if you're stuck at home doing meetings, you can kind of make yourself look a little bit cooler.
I still haven't figured out how to do that.
I can't wait to see the tech support on that one. And then also talking a little bit about Rise of Skywalker and those weird little Sith Wayfinders they had. Maybe the little more, and of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Woo!
Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and
more.
Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
Yeah, lots of different ways to listen to us. Give us a 5-star review and let us know that you did so. And once we can actually send out some mail and you can receive that mail, we will send you a completely and utterly random comic book that I have from a long box that I got from a local gaming store in Tacoma called Destiny City Comics. And completely random. It might just be like issue number 4 out of 70, or it might be the first issue of something. I don't know, because I'm just going to grab in the box completely random. So hopefully it'll kickstart a collection of yours, or you'll just read that one and be very confused. Let's talk comic books, BJ.
Yes, well,
that's one of those things that you've been doing.
I do like to read comic books. I'm sort of in a bit of a struggle period here with the latest Spider-Man. There's a character called Gog. He's a big orange dinosaur-y, monster-y looking thing. And they're just giving us a backstory to Gog. I didn't know I wanted a backstory to Gog. I still don't know if I want a backstory to Gog. Because he's, you know, you just think he's a mindless monster. Turns out maybe he's like a pet or something. And I'm not
like
too sure about
or
this.
Something like that.
I don't know what the hell he is. I mean, I can show you a picture of him. There he is right there.
Oh, that looks kind of cool.
He's a monstery, dinosaur-ishy looking scary.
Yeah.
But apparently, really, he's a microscopic creature. He's a very small creature, but he's been somehow made to look big.
Oh,
but he comes
okay.
from a little small place. Reed Richards got involved, and
well,
I don't know.
I mean, if Reed Richards gets involved, actually, with someone very small getting very big, I'd think like a Hank Pym or a Scott Lang or something along those lines.
Somehow Reed used, I think he used the Pym particles to help out, but you know, so I don't. You know,
right.
Reed's a smart guy, so I guess he's qualified to be a smart guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stick through this. It seems like it's sort of like, I don't know, feels like Data's cat spot. You know, it feels like a filler episode. We'll see. but that's Spider-Man 42. And meanwhile, Fantastic Four, well, that's a horse of a different flavor right there. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
because that, I just love Dan Slott. Maybe that's what it is, because I love Dan Slott's Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm very judgmental of anybody else doing Spider-Man.
Not my Spider-Man.
Yeah, and the Mole Man is back, so that's kind of cool in issue 20. And Wyatt Wingfoot, who you probably don't know, but he's a Native American friend of Johnny Storm from way back in the day.
Interesting.
And so we get to see him hang out, Johnny's new beloved, Sky, from the alternate universe, or the planet that they were supposed to travel to before they got hit by the cosmic rays, and they had a great story arc, point of origin.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so she's now living on Earth with Johnny, and they're trying to figure out their relationship, because, I mean, they're betrothed because of prophecy, you know. They're prophetic soulmates kind of a thing. I really dug the issue. Fantastic Four has always been, in a way, about Well, sort of like how Star Trek Picard is. You know there's about to be a big battle, but that's not the way Picard wants to end it or the Fantastic Four. They really want to come to an agreement more than anything else, and there may be even some political undertones to this issue if you want to take whatever you want to take out of it.
Really?
But it was a lot of fun. That's number 20. The artwork is always good. Paco Medina does a great job. And so there you go. You got Spidey. You got Fantastic Four. And who knows, maybe next week I'll tell you what's going on in the world of Ascender and Rat Queens. There's a tease.
There is a definite tease.
There's a tease there.
And, I mean, you got plenty of time to read all those different comic books.
I sure do.
Another thing you can do is spend a little bit of time playing a mobile game. I know there's some gamers out there.
That's all I've been doing.
Right, I know.
I may be doing it now.
Right. And there's a bunch of people who'd be like, oh, mobile gaming's not real gaming. You got to, you know, game on your PC or your console. But, I mean, aside from games like Fortnite, which have and PUBG, which have really taken hold on the mobile, there's another one that I've been playing literally for 2 years now, and it's called Marvel Strike Force. I've mentioned this previously, and it's essentially like a Pokemon type game where you collect shards of one of your favorite Marvel Universe characters, and they kind of blend in between the MCU and then also like the movie versions and then also the comic book version. So they kind of fit it into their own little genre and their own little dimension, as it were. And they're celebrating their second year anniversary of this game, and they're bringing a new group of baddies, which I'm very excited for. They've had Thanos for a while, but now they're bringing the Black Order,
ooh,
which you may remember as Proxima Midnight, Corvus Glaive, Cole Obsidian, and Ebony Maw, which is,
hey, I get it.
There's five of them in the comic books, but they're sticking to the MCU version of the four of them. So when you have a team, because you build teams of five, you can get the four of those and Thanos as your five teams there.
Okay, then.
And oh, I'm really excited because when you get a group that is supposed to be together, because you can pick anybody. Like, I can have Spider-Man and Thanos and Winter Soldier all playing together with a couple of randos. And they'll do what they're supposed to do. But when you get teams that are supposed to be together, like you get the Avengers or you get like a whole bunch of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. together, they'll play off of each other.
Yeah.
And so they're doing this with the Black Order. So they'll be assisting and even being able to collect Infinity Stones for Thanos.
Oh.
So I'm really excited to see how this plays out.
Dun, dun, dun.
And just the different ways that they'll have it, because someone like Cole Obsidian is more of a tank character, which means they're going to be taking all of the damage and they'll be taunting and doing all these different abilities to do that. So it'll be fun to see how those all play together and how they're going to be doing this and exactly how the Infinity Stones are going to take place with this. It's a great game. It's one of those ones that you can play for 5 to 10 minutes a day just to kind of do, you know, a couple of dailies or, you know, do some fights and have some fun, get in a group and do a big raid. It's great. It's one of those ones where I play every single day because I want to get those bonuses and do all that fun stuff. Yeah. So highly addictive, a lot of fun. And I mean, if you want to collect all your favorite Marvel heroes and make your teams, it's 100%.
And where can I
awesome.
Play this?
I know for sure it's on iOS and on Android phones.
So that means it's easy to do.
Yeah.
No really weird controllers I got to worry about.
No, none at all. It's all like push button stuff. Like, oh, I want to fight this thing. And you have to collect energy in order to do certain things and go through the campaign mode. They have story modes where it's, you know, flimsy stories to get you through what the gameplay is. But it's worthwhile, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a good way to get your comic book fix on that. Moving on from that, I wanted to talk about the fact that a lot of people are stuck indoors.
Yes.
And if you're trying to work from home or if you're trying to run a D&D session, even if you are using something like Roll20, a lot of people are using video conferencing in order to do that. Some of the ways would be like using Discord because it has video function, but a lot of people are using Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom is the thing, man.
And BJ, how's your Zoom escapades going?
I mean, listen, I'm
going
to try to call my wife on Zoom again this weekend. I'm going to see if I can get that together. I tried one time, massive fail, but I think I figured it out.
Oh.
I think I knew what I did. So she's been using Zoom herself, but for some reason, the two of us cannot figure it out together. So check in with me next week.
Well, once you do, you'll have the ability, once you have those conference calls, to go into the world of DC Comics. Ooh. They are offering backgrounds of famous locations and some not so famous, but background features for the locations include Gotham City, the Batcave, Arkham Asylum, the Daily Planet.
Ooh, nice.
The Fortress of Solitude, Wonder Woman's home, which I will mispronounce.
Oh, yeah.
Like Themyscira.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right,
Mascara. The Hall of Justice, Star Labs, Atlantis, Gorilla City, and the Cosmos. And some of the more interesting ones actually include a vintage Gotham City train station with an old school locomotive puffing smoke. So these are really in-depth, fun backgrounds that you can have while you're doing your little Zoom video conferences.
Yeah, probably for gaming. I don't know if you're working for the company, if you want the CEO to see you in the back.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Maybe it would be. I don't know.
I don't know if you guys heard about this story. It reminded me of this, but one of the conferencing, the Microsoft one, the conference, video conferencing.
Oh, Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
Yes.
A guy was in his business meeting, and his boss, his supervisor, turned herself into a potato on accident.
Oh, I heard about this.
And she couldn't figure out how to turn herself back.
That's
so
awesome.
She just had to do the meeting as a potato with like her eyes and just like her lips moving sort of thing, like one of those Quiznos commercials.
Gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
Oh, man. How do you take somebody seriously at a business meeting when you just got, look, it's Mrs. Potato Head talking to me over here.
And also, just as a little bit of a warning, if you're going to be doing these video conferencings and you want to make sure that, you know, people don't see what you're doing, maybe you're like one of those people who are just wearing, you know, the nice button-up shirt, no pants underneath. If you do need to go to the restroom and you want to bring the conference with you, make sure and either turn off the video or maybe put like a little piece of paper or tape over your camera.
Yep.
Don't think that it's just not going to be happening and then when you drop trow and then everybody sees you going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Poor Jennifer. I mean, if you haven't seen the viral thing on that, just literally just Google poor Jennifer and you'll find it. Moving on from that, I know that Rise of Skywalker was a polarizing movie.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot, and probably will watch it soon. You know, when it's up on Disney Plus. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus yet. I think you can still buy it.
I think it's on demand. It'll eventually come out there, and especially there's a lot of movies that are coming out a lot sooner. We heard that on Friday's Vicky's Geek Sheet, and what we've been doing is these are movies that are streaming now because you literally can't go to the cinema to watch these. But with Rise of Skywalker, the main target of Rey, Finn, and Poe Dameron's journey in it was the Sith Wayfinder, which was the GPS device to find the home planet of Exator for Senator Palpatine or whatever. Darth jerk-off clone guy who ruined my damn movie. So that's where he constructed the Final Order. And there's only two such devices, and Kylo Ren had already found his.
That's right.
Well, the interesting part about this was that in The Art of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, it's a book that is either coming out soon or will be out soon, it revealed that the Sith Wayfinder wasn't in the film's original idea for their MacGuffin.
Oh.
So it wasn't going to be that. In the book, prop concept designer Matthew Savage, great name, explained that rather than the Sith Wayfinder, earlier versions of the film featured a kill switch for all of the First Order tech constructed over many generations and by an Empire-hating alien race. And some of those people say that maybe that Babu Frick was one of those alien races and that they were the engineers and they were the ones that were behind all of that. And in terms of what it actually looked like, Savage noted that he and the prop master Jamie Wilkinson played with various ideas, both 2D and with a kit-bashing found physical elements, like just a bunch of different random weird things that they're going along with that. But of course, the problem really kind of came down to the fact that the original director, Colin Trevorrow, he left, and then the whole movie went under a bunch of changes, and it seems like this book has a lot of the original concepts, and then obviously you get to see in the movie what came from that. So,
yeah.
Kind of interesting to see where it goes, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated because The Mandalorian, if they do it right, should show us more and more of how Palpatine really did actually still have some influence over the world after he supposedly died. That's what I'm hoping The Mandalorian will be, a nice little bridge if it sticks around long enough, because that's what The Rise of Skywalker pretty much told us, is that, you know what, Palpatine said, hey, Darth Plagueis, man, he found a way to come back from the dead, and so they set it up that he would still be around in some way, shape, or form, but obviously with the Sith's negative energy powers, it would be in a real horrific fashion as opposed to a sweet little Force ghost.
And I've heard of a lot of people, and maybe it was like a comic book or some sort of like, not on camera, but it's still canon thing, where he's literally just a clone. Like, Palpatine's just a clone.
And he's always been a clone.
But they just, this one. Like, so he actually did die, but they cloned him to bring him, quote unquote, back.
See, I don't.
And this isn't the real him.
I don't know about that.
But he has Force powers. Do clones have Force powers?
If he's a clone, it's because he's done it himself. But I don't know. I mean, if I can believe that a vivisected Darth Maul can still be alive, and that's what they want us to believe.
It's canon, yeah.
Yeah, so if they wanted to believe that somehow, some way, people found him and fixed him before he actually literally died, but you could argue that his ability with the Force kept himself alive until they could really fix him up.
The hatred, the anger, that stuff.
Well, and Carrie Fisher floating in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're led to believe that the Jedi and the Sith will have supernatural abilities to keep themselves going, and yet, why couldn't Qui-Gon Jinn survive a little, shot to the gut? I don't know.
Right? And that's the part of the problem is, when you get into, especially in the Star Wars universe, I mean, we just talked about this with, pseudo-techno-babble with Star Trek versus magic in Star Wars, that a lot of things can just be kind of hand-waved, and if it gets down to the scrutiny of it,
but I do believe
it doesn't hold up.
I do believe that was the intention all along. Whether or not it was clumsy, I do believe when they started episode 7, the whole story arc, the trilogy, I do believe JJ and the gang knew that it was going to be Palpatine. I just, whether you like it or not, it wasn't something they just came up with for episode 9. I think they knew Palpatine was going to be the puppet master of all of it.
Yeah.
It would be insane if they didn't have that planned. It's just too bad that Carrie Fisher passed away. I think it could have been a much better movie had she not passed away.
I think I screwed up everything. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, your death screwed up everything. But I mean, it did.
It really, really did. And I think they made a mistake doing what they did. I think they wanted to honor the relationship they were going to build between the two of them. It just didn't work because they didn't have enough footage. It was just too clunky.
Absolutely.
Well, I still liked it. I'm probably the only one in this room that had a good time.
And good on you with
it. I liked it too, Vicky.
You guys like it, and I'm not going to poo-poo on you on liking it or not. I'm just going to be like, well, this is my issue with it. And everyone's allowed to have their own opinion.
And I was going to say, I feel more like more people who have been more invested to a series, doesn't have to just be Star Wars, they're going to have a lot more nitpicky things to say and be a little bit more, scrutinize it a little bit more so. For me, because I don't know any better, for lack of better words, but I'm just kind of basing it off, did I have a good time? Did I enjoy myself? Do I feel like I walked out of there and I got my money's worth? I did. So
you really didn't, I don't know, how many times have you seen it?
Once.
Okay. You know what happened, Vicky? When I saw it again, I noticed the clunkiness of her death. It wasn't even about Star Wars nitpicking. It was, oh my gosh, Carrie Fisher is really not saying anything in this new movie. They're just piecing together stuff to try to create what they would have created had she been alive.
And that took me right out of the movie when it was long exposition, her one line. And I was like,
and that's the problem. That isn't even anything about the plot, not about what they wanted to do. It was, they made an effort to do this, and I just think it fell flat for me. That doesn't mean I can't imagine what it could have been if she was still alive, and that's what I do in my head.
I think I'm a little bit more, because I know she passed away, and I know they had to do these things, I'm a little bit more forgiving, and as well as my favorite movie of all time is The Crow, and he passed away during the filming of that, Brandon Lee. And so you can definitely tell, he's very monologue-y. And then when he goes with one other character, the character starts yelling at him, say something. It was very out of character for him to just stay quiet as he's, getting his revenge, if you will.
Oh.
So it's like, I get it. Like, I mean, I would have loved to have heard what he would have said to him,
yep.
at him and everything. But it didn't make the scene any less powerful.
Yeah, like,
just made it awkward for me because she's supposed to be like the lead general and she's just not in the movie. And you're kind of like, well, you know, maybe she should be giving some orders.
and really, and I love that. And this is what I love is that she's supposed to be a really great with the Force. Like she's supposed to be she is a Jedi master, mm-hmm. which they did at least flesh out a little bit. We figured as much when she survived in episode 8. We figured as much as like, okay, for her to be able to do what she did, yeah, maybe she's not a warrior, but that doesn't mean you're not a Jedi master. Not all Jedi are warriors. And I'm bummed that we didn't get to explore that more. I really, really am. Unfortunately, you could tell she wasn't healthy in episode 7. You know, because I've seen Carrie Fisher act in previous things. She was a terrific dynamic actor. Mm-hmm. She was so good. And it was obvious that, ooh, she's not healthy in episode 7. You never would have thought she would have passed away, but you could tell that something's up because she's just not 100% good here. And, you know, not just physically, but just how she was performing. Whereas, you know, Harrison Ford really was doing a great job. Even Billy Dee Williams.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, Billy Dee's an old guy. But even Billy Dee Williams was really, you know, vibrant and had, you know, he was, yeah. I liked him in episode 9. So it's just a sad thing that happened. I applaud JJ for at least going, we're going to try to make her a big star. We wish this was going to be her movie.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 9 was supposed to be her movie, and unfortunately, it just didn't happen.
Did you guys hear that woman that he talks to, Billy, at the end of the movie, is supposed to be his daughter or something? I heard rumors of that.
Really?
Wait, Billy?
Lando's daughter?
No, like in the movies, that's supposed to be his daughter.
Oh, the girl running around with Finn?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard a rumor about that online.
I know that people have wanted to have a spinoff with Lando and her and maybe Finn as well. Which would be kind of fun to see that, just trying to go, you know, I don't know, just traipsing across the universe doing
Adventures.
Star Wars things.
That's why I think if they did the same thing they do with Picard, they do a Lando-Picard, I think that'd be perfect. Because Lando's more charismatic and, you know, Picard was very stern. That's why it kind of missed me on some. But if they did it with Lando, that'd be amazing.
Dude, that would be great. Like, and it's just like, it's the same thing. They could call it the Landamorian.
Yeah, the Landamorian. I'm in. You
Sorry.
Got me.
It just got yeah. So yeah. I mean, like, well, okay. Like, I'm excited for the Mandalorian.
Yep.
I would be super excited to see a Lando series. Like any of those things along those lines, I'd be happy to watch.
He's just a space gambler. He's trying to hustle everyone still,
right?
But he's old and terrible at it. It'd
right?
be great.
Hey, random adventures.
Yeah, and they're bringing him in to. I mean, it's the same along the lines of the Mandalorian in terms of just like space westerns. It's a lawless land out there after everything has gone down. Have this one take place after episode 9, and you would have one for each of these different areas. I think it would work out perfectly.
Because Mando needs a mentor, so it's Lando and Mando.
Oh, I'd love it. And Lando's trying to gamble Baby Yoda away. You can't gamble Baby Yoda away, Lando.
Yeah, you know, Mando's like, I'm not.
Baby Yoda needs a new pair of shoes.
I am so not down with that. Do you know how much S I got into trying to save this kid and steal him? You cannot just. You can't gamble him away.
Yoda can force roll the dice, so he always wins. It'll be great.
See, this will be for season 3. I know they already have season 2 in the can, which I'm very excited
Mando
to see.
Mando and Lando.
Please.
Do it.
Please.
Come on, Favreau. Make it happen.
These are fan theories that are worthy of Vicky at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and hey, speaking of Vicky, it's time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's going on?
Uh-oh.
She laughing.
Well, are you okay with
that? She laughing.
I was thinking of for today's Geek Sheet, we do something a little punny.
Okay.
Ranker put out a list of the most heroic puns in the MCU.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Just God.
Well, she likes it so far. Yes.
You need to be able to say them, Vicky.
I know. It's the whole conversation. In the movie Doctor Strange, Mr. Doctor.
Oh.
Mr. Doctor? It's strange. Maybe. Who am I to judge?
Doctor, yeah. Mr. Doctor?
Yeah.
Or even
that's a good exchange.
Spider-Man Far From Home, it's a little tight around the old web shooter.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
How did I not even read?
I know.
Wow.
I didn't think about that either.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, what, around your wrists? Oh,
yeah,
no.
No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Or how about Drax? Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
That's a great line.
Literally one of my favorite scenes in all of the movies when he's just sitting there eating his candies, not moving, thinking he's invisible.
Yeah.
I am completely invisible.
Drax steals the show, like, in a lot of the
Straight
scenes.
Straight up, yeah.
I'm going to skip through some of these because some of these aren't that great. But
thanks.
In Ant-Man, when he says, I'm going to call him Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good
one. That's fine. I like that.
How about in Captain America, the Winter Soldier? This is said by the Black Widow. Hey, fellas, either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
That's a good line. Yeah.
Or I didn't really catch this one either. Captain America and Spider-Man Homecoming, when he's doing that little video to the like the health video.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, so your body's changing. Believe me, I know how that feels.
Yeah.
It didn't click. I was just like, oh, puberty. And I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh, wait, yeah. He went through the, like just that movie manifestation of puberty.
Yeah.
Like, remember when you were teeny tiny? Suddenly you're ripped.
What I liked is also is that he underwent that particular special effect where he had his head put on a weird body. And yeah. If you remember, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, same deal. Before he had the real skinny body.
Did he really
body.
Do that?
Yeah, it was because he came out all muscular after he was bitten by the radioactive spider.
Oh.
That was again, CGI. He was on a skinny body, and then Toby had some muscles.
Might have to go back and watch that.
Oh, yeah, check it out.
I thought it was like they stopped production for him to work out. That's what I assumed.
Well, this was back at, we didn't know you could have this great
I just
technology.
Imagine he went to the Christian Bale school of movies, so yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, Christian Bale. I would believe that about Christian Bale.
Oh, man, go watch The Machinist if you haven't.
I know that movie's a great movie.
Yeah,
he weighs like what, 5 pounds?
Oh, it's creepy.
Like, it really is. It's like watching Jack Skellington in a very bad movie not a bad movie, but a movie about people being treated badly.
Yeah.
One from the first one, Iron Man. You've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that? Absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint. That's like a very dad joke.
Yeah.
It seems almost like a Leslie Nielsen type reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
One from Thor Ragnarok. Every great king had an executioner, not just to execute people, but to execute their vision, but mainly to execute people. Yeah. Anyway.
One of my favorite lines, too, is it's just totally nonchalant, but it was Rocket that says, that sounds like a made-up word, and Thor just comes back with, all words are made up. And it's like, it's true.
Yeah. That was
it's really true.
That was also on Archer.
Was it really?
It was an episode of Archer where Carol or Cheryl is like,
either or.
I need a defibrillator. That's a made up word. They're all made up. Mind blown. Oh, man.
Is there any more on there that you think are worthwhile?
I really do love when Mantis says, kick names and take ass.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
That is a good one.
It was so unexpected, but also when she said it, and like, if anyone were to say that, it would absolutely be her.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Or just even her just jumping up and down on the planet because it was the lesser gravity.
So many great lines. I love Tony Stark's line, Underoos. You know, with when we first see Spider-Man in the MCU.
Yeah.
Hey, Underoos.
God, I want to know what your favorite line from the MCU is. Send us a message on Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And until next time, stay nerdy.
Immerse yourself in geek culture. Movies, books, cons, and especially gaming. Video, tabletop, it doesn't matter as long as you can play. My geeky friend, you need Vernon Wells. Vernon Wells is a geek gamer's paradise. It's like a country club for geeks without the hoity-toity atmosphere. You can nerd out and get your geek on with professionals just like you. So get geeking and sign up today. Vernon Wells, VNW.club. VNW.club.